taken for 1 John, and it's in the second chapter. It's going to be verses 1 through 6. Let us read the Word of God together. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his command. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. May God bless the reading of his word. Now that, if anyone claims to know Jesus, they will live in him. And that's the whole thrust of this series that I've been preaching on, is that Jesus is a model of how we are to live. And so we're going to continue in that today on how did Jesus handle stress. Is there anyone here who experiences stress? Ooh, the looks on your faces, we all do, don't we? In times, you ever felt like that you've had the weight of the world on your shoulders? I mean, you just felt like you just can't handle it anymore. You just got to get away, got to get out from under it, something's got to change. You ever felt that way? I think at times we feel that too, yes. But you know the truth is, there's only one person who's really ever carried the entire weight of the world on his shoulders. And his name is Jesus. Because that's what he came to do. He came to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. He came to carry you and to carry me on his shoulders. In 1 John 2:2, the scripture that we read, Jesus is the one who took God's wrath against our sins upon himself. In other words, he brought us into fellowship with God, and he gave forgiveness for our sins, and not only ours, but the whole world, the scripture said. You see, Jesus carried the weight of your sin, my sin, the sin of the world, upon himself. He went to hell. He paid the price that we are supposed to pay. He carried it upon himself for the whole world. I guess nobody has carried greater stress in his life than Jesus. He not only carried the weight of the world on the cross, but during his ministry, while he was here, as we read the scripture, we find that when he went about, that people were demanding so much from him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to talk to him. They wanted to be healed, to the point that he felt smothered or overwhelmed, I'm sure. There were people trying to trap him, and there were people who were trying to kill him. He was constantly being under a barrage of people needing him, or they wanting to harm him. Nobody's probably experienced any greater stress than Jesus did. And yet, if you look at his life and you read about his life in the scripture, he never seemed to be out of control by it. He handled all the pressure with peace in the midst of all of that barrage of things. In fact, we never have an example in the Bible that Jesus was ever in a hurry. We hear people coming and saying, look, my child is dying. Look, you've got to come. And we find that a lot of times that it took days for Jesus to get there. Jesus was never in a hurry. He was never controlled by what seemed to stress other people out. In fact, there was never an example of Jesus in a hurry. But there's not that instant where Jesus felt like, he had to run anywhere. You don't find a story like that. He was always at peace. No matter what the world threw at him, he handled it with grace. Don't you want to learn how to deal with the things that come in life that way? I know I do. I would love to learn how to be at peace under pressure. I want to know the secret of handling that kind of stress. And if you take seriously trying to become like Christ, which we're trying to do in this series of messages, you will experience stress. Because Jesus did. If you follow him, you're going to experience it too. So you will experience that. Count on it. So how do you experience stress and yet find yourself not in a hurry, not under pressure, not worrying about it? Well, Jesus showed us how. And if we will do these things, our stress will go down, our joy will come up, our fulfillment will come up, our peace will come up. So I want us to look at how did Jesus handle stress. How was he the model of what we need to do? And here's the first thing. The first principle is identification. What that means is know who you are. You see, that's a starting point. Knowing who you are in this world. Because if you will become under stress, you will have a confused identity under stress if you don't know who you are. Now that sounds like an easy enough thing, doesn't it? But let me ask you, do you know who you are? Do you know why you are? Do you know what you are? You see, culture tries to make you all kinds of things. If you don't know who you are, other people will mold you into what they think you ought to be. In other words, your parents, your partner, your peers, the professionals around you, everybody is going to try to make you somebody that you're not if you don't know who God made you to be. You're unique, and unless you settle this issue, you're going to be the target of stress because you're going to always try to be what other people want you to be. Jesus had no doubt to his identity. In fact, 18 times in the New Testament, we find Jesus defining himself. He says, I am, and then he fills in the blank. He says, I am the truth. He says, I am the way. One time he says, I am the life. He says, I am the Son of God. He says, I am sent from the one above. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. Jesus knew who he was. He was the Savior of the world. He knew who he was. Do you know who you are? If you don't know your identity, you're going to tend to be dependent upon what other people say you are. One of the traps that keep you from knowing your identity is comparing. Comparing is the favorite indoor sport of Americans. We compare everything. We compare clothes to see if we're dressing the way we should. We compare hairdos to see if we're looking the way we're supposed to. We compare skin colors. We compare jobs. We compare salaries and cars and homes. And we compare our children to see if they measure up. God says that's stupid. I'll put it in my language, the way I understand what God is saying about that. Because God made you to be you in a unique kind of way. Nobody's like you in the whole world. You can't compare yourself to somebody else. That is stupid. And yet we do it all the time. God made you in a special way. He made you for a specific purpose. God loves you like He loves no other. If there had only been one of you in the whole world, Jesus would have come and He would have sacrificed and He would have died just for you. That's why Jesus did die for you. That's why Jesus came, because you are deeply loved. To make you into a new person, He came. To show you how much you're worth. To show you that you're a child of the King. He came because you are a child of God. That is who you are. You need to know that identity, because that's the first stress reducer, is if you're not trying to be what you're not, if you're trying to please other people for what they think you ought to be, if you will be a child of God and accept that as who God truly created you to be, that identity, then you don't have to worry what other people think and what other people say and what other people want. You are a child of God. And the second way to handle stress is the principle of motivation. Motivation, that means know what you're living for. You see, mixed motivations causes enormous stress in our lives. Mixed motivation causes you to try to be all things to all people and try to please everybody. You ever tried to please somebody? You ever want to make them happy? The truth is, you can't please everybody. As a pastor, I've learned that I'm always disappointing somebody. That's one of the costs of leadership. In fact, the only way I would finally began to accept that fact was that even God can't please everybody. Somebody's praying for rain and somebody else is praying for snow. And yet somebody else is praying for it to be sunny. Did you know that God can't please everybody? But God can bless everybody. God will bless those who trust Him no matter what they're praying for or asking for or seeking. If they will trust Him, God will bless them no matter what. You know, you might have this myth in your mind. You might say, if I could just get everybody to love me, I would be happy. You know, if I could please everybody, then I would be happy. Well, that's a myth, because it ain't going to happen. Some of you are trying to get the approval of other people. Maybe your parents, maybe your brother or sister, maybe a teacher, maybe a coworker, maybe a person in the church. You're trying to get people to approve of you. And maybe in your mind you're saying, I'm going to prove to them that I'm somebody. I'm going to prove to them that I'm significant. I'm going to prove to people that my life matters. Don't let other people determine your happiness by trying to get their approval. Look at what Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, 30. It says, Jesus said this, I'm not trying to do what I want, but only what my Father who sent me wants. In other words, Jesus wasn't trying to make people happy and like Him so they would follow Him. He said, I'm only here trying to do what my Father sent me here to do. He says, I'm not trying to please myself even. He says, I'm not out to win the popularity contest. I just want to do what God put me on earth to do. And what was that? What did Jesus say? I'm only here trying to do what God put me here on earth to do. And what was that? And Jesus said, to live for God. Jesus said in John 8:29, I always do those things that are pleasing to Him, my Heavenly Father. In other words, Jesus is only trying to please one person, my Father in heaven. And He never let approval of people or rejection by people control Him of what He was to do. In fact, Jesus says this, no one can serve two masters. You will either love God and hate the world, or you will love the world and hate God. The Bible says to be stress-free, know your identification, know who I am, and second is to know what you're living for, know your motivation, you're living for God. And here's the third way Jesus showed to handle stress in your is by your vocation, meaning know your calling. Know what God has called you to do while you're living here on this earth. Know your purpose. Everybody is called by God. Did you know that you have a God vocation? Now, you may not be fulfilling that, but do you know that God has created you, brought you into this world, and given you a God purpose? God's put you on this earth to fulfill a certain job, a certain task. It took me a long time, in terms of long time, even as a teenager. I was called to be a pastor. God called me. And I came to that kicking and screaming because I did not want to do that. I did not feel that I was able to do that. That was not what I saw myself to do. But God called me. No vocation is more important than any other. You have been called to a task to fulfill of God. Do you know what God has called you to? And maybe you're still kicking and screaming. Maybe you still haven't said, okay, Lord, this is what you have called me to do. You know, you may be called to be a truck driver or an accountant or to be a mom at home, or there, everything in what you do, you could be called by God to do that, but you're called maybe to paint or to make music or to write or to cook. It could be many things that God's called you to, but everybody is called into a ministry. And it's when you take what God has shaped you to be, whatever career that might be, whatever God has shaped you to do, and you use it for God's glory. That's your ministry. How do you know what your calling in life is? How do you know that? How do you identify that? How did I know that I was to be a pastor? How? I struggled with that for many, many years, trying to understand. But I knew God had His hand upon my life. I knew that God was asking me to take my life and use it in a way to glorify Him. How do you know what you're calling in His life? You look at your spiritual gifts. And a spiritual gift is not something that you have a talent in. It's something God has given you. God may give you compassion. God may give you love. God may give you concern for others. God may give you compassion for the lost. God may give you compassion for those in prison. God has given you a spiritual gift of you to talk or communicate or engage with other people. God has given you spiritual gifts, which you are gifted to do by God. But then God gave you a heart. In other words, you look at your heart. What do I love to do? What are my desires? What are my abilities? What are my personalities? What are my experiences? You take God's spiritual gift and you take your heart of what you love to do and you put those together, and God empowers you by His Spirit to have a ministry that touches the lives of other people. Jesus knew exactly what He was called to do. In John 8:14, it says, I know where I have come from. And that's the first thing. And then Jesus said, I know where I'm going. He lived a meaningful, purposeful, driven life. Everybody's life is driven by something. What is your life driven by? Some lives are driven by time, some by fear, some by guilt, some by shame, some by money, some by regret, some by anger. Our lives are driven by something that we seem to be trying to overcome. Some lives are driven by the approval of other people. And God says, that's not what I want your life to be driven by. I want your life to be driven by your calling, by your purpose. So I want you to know who you are. That's your identity. That you're a child of God. I want you to know who you're trying to please. That's your motivation to please God. And I want you to know what I put you on earth to do. And that's your calling. And that's to be a ministry to others to glorify God. And here's the fourth way to handle stress. It's concentration. That means just focus on what matters most. Let me tell you something. A little secret I've learned as a pastor. If Satan can't get you to be bad, he'll get you to be busy. He doesn't care whether it's bad things or good things as long as you're not doing the right thing. As long as you're not doing what God wants you to do. If you want your life to matter, then the Scripture teaches us to focus on what matters that God reveals to us. The Bible says this about Jesus in Luke 9. It says, as the time drew near for Jesus to return to heaven, he moved steadily onward toward Jerusalem. That is, while he was going to Jerusalem, he knew that that's where the cross was waiting for him. That's where it was going to happen. And he continued with an iron will, even when those others were saying, don't go there, because if you do, you're going to die. Don't go there. There's people there wanting to harm you. Jesus kept his motivation on what he was focused to do. In other words, he was persistent. He was determined. He was focused. He was concentrated. He knew what mattered most. And Jesus says this in Luke 9:62. He says, anybody who lets himself be distracted from the work, that is, from their vocation, from their calling. If you're distracted, if you're not doing what God's called you to do, then that I plan for him, anybody that lets you be distracted that from what I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. And in other words, God says if you're not focused on what I've called you to, you're really not fit for the kingdom. That's harsh words, it seems. Jesus said that. He said, don't get distracted. Know who you are. Know what you're living for. Know your calling and focus on that which matters most. Living only here and now is a terrible, stupid thing. It's a stupid mistake. You need to invest your life in something that's going to outlast your life. Know what matters most. And here's the fifth thing, the fifth way Jesus handled stress. It's meditation. That is, listen to God. This is one of the key sources of stress reduction. Learning to listen to God. God speaks in many different ways. Sometimes God speaks through your time of reading the Bible. And so that's why I stress that. I try to do that every Sunday that we come together to worship. That you need to read the Bible on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Sometimes God speaks through a Christian friend. And so you need to be around other Christians. That's one of the important things around being at worship, around people who are focused toward God. That's a reason to be in Bible study together, to be in small groups together. You need to be around other Christian friends because they are inspired by God and they give a word or insight and you go, wow. That really spoke to me. That really helped me. So God speaks through His Word when we read and study. God speaks through other Christians. But sometimes God speaks through impressions on your mind. You may ask, why don't I hear from God? Why don't I hear God speaking to me? Well, maybe it's because you're not quiet. You're not still long enough in reading His Word and in meditation for God to speak to you. You know, when you get a thought from God, that's called an inspiration. And when you get a thought from the devil, that's called a temptation. Or when you get a thought from yourself, that's called stupidity. No, not really. Just kidding. But that's called listening. When you get a thought within you, that's called listening. God speaks to the person who wants to listen. And the Bible tells us over and over, pray and listen to the voice of God. Look at this verse. It says, news about Jesus spread even more. As Jesus was teaching and healing and doing all these kind of things, people were beginning to just tell everybody what Jesus is able to do. Crowds came to hear Him, and they came to be healed by Him. But Jesus, often as they came and they pressed around Him, that He slipped away to be alone so He could pray. You need to have a quiet time every day to reflect, to renew, to recharge. And if Jesus felt the need to pray and to be away with God, how much more do we need to do that every day? The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. If you want to lower the stress in your life, you have to make a daily time with God where you listen to God. And here's the last principle I want to share with you today. The sixth principle to reduce stress is recreation. Recreation is this. Take time to recharge. Jesus frequently had more important work to do than you or I would ever think of doing. But He took time to relax, to go to parties, to go to weddings, to have fun, to have recreation. We don't often think about Jesus doing that. But if you read the Scripture, you find He did that all the time. The Bible says in Mark 6, crowds of people were coming and going. In other words, He didn't have any privacy. Crowds were around Him all the time, demanding on Him. Crowds of people were coming and going so that the disciples, it says in that Scripture, did not even have time to eat. Now, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when you don't have time to eat, you're really busy. And most of us take the time or carve out the time, but here it says the disciples and Jesus was having so much going on that they didn't even have time to eat. And so if you don't have time to eat, that means your schedule's packed. They didn't have time to eat. So Jesus said to them, come away. Come away. Let's get away by ourselves. And I love the way the King James Version says it. It says, come apart for a while. Because you see, you need to, it says, come apart for a while. And I think that means if you don't come apart from things, you will come apart. You know what I mean? You will fall apart. You will disintegrate. Come away by yourselves, and we'll go to a lovely place, Jesus said, to get some rest. Jesus often said, let's get out, let's get away. And actually, Jesus often went to the desert to retreat. You need to get away by yourself. You need to get away with friends to relax, to have some fun, to recharge, to rejuvenate. And Jesus frequently retreated to rest. If you're too busy to take time off, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to relax, you're too busy. You need to stop and smell the roses. you need to stop and get on your knees and thank God for the gift of life. Unless you take time to relax and schedule it, there's always going to be something more urgent. You've got to take some intentional steps to combat the stress in your life. What are those steps? How are you going to combat the stress in your life? I just gave you the six things that I studied from the scripture. Know who you are, that you're created by God, that He loves you, that Jesus died for you, and there is nothing more precious than you to God in the world. Know what you're living for, that you're not living for the approval of others, that you're living for the approval of God. Know your calling. God called you for a specific task and purpose, a ministry, to use your gifts. Know that purpose. Focus on what matters most. Don't get distracted. Don't get too busy for God. Listen to God. Have a quiet time. Be quiet on a daily basis. And then take time to recharge, to relax, to refresh. That are the six things I read and studied from the scripture that Jesus did to not be in a hurry, to have a chance to relax and to do what God had called him to do. But there's one more thing. I'm going to end with this. There's one more thing that we need to do. And this is the gift of Jesus. We need Jesus for our renewed, refreshed, rejuvenated life. And so I'm going to simply ask you, give your all to Jesus. If you want to overcome your stress, you give it all to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who are carrying burdens, and I will give you rest. And you will find rest for your souls. Jesus said, if you're tired, if you're worn out, if you're beat up, if you're frustrated, if you're stressed out, come to me. Look up. Look up to God. Because the simple, greatest source of stress is you trying to live your life on your own. Not having the power, not having the connection with Jesus Christ. It's like being unplugged when you have an electrical source. If you don't have it plugged in, and no matter what kind of contraption you have, no matter how enormous it is or what it can do, if it's not plugged in, it won't work. And if your power in your life is disconnected from God, then you are in trouble. So what do you do? Jesus says, come to me. It's that simple. Come to me. Come and lay your burden. Plug into me and I will give you the strength. I will give you release from the stress. So give your life to Him. He's very aware of what you're carrying. He's very aware of what you need today. And He knows He can help you. Let us pray. Dear loving God, thank you so much for our time together. And I'm just going to ask each one of us to pray this prayer together in our hearts. Lord, we just say, dear Jesus Christ, there's a lot of stress in our lives today. We want to give it all to you. We want to know who we're living for. Dear Jesus Christ, thank you that you made me to love me. You made each one of us to be loved by you. And help me to know that I am and that I'm not dependent on the approval of others, that you made me special and unique. Help me to focus my life on what matters most. Teach me to listen to you, Father. I want to find rest for my soul. So I give myself completely to you this morning. I just release all the stress and the strain right now, Father. And I just come to Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, and God wants to bless you. and bless your soul and bless your life. And I pray this morning that as we leave this place, we will allow God to bless us. Loved God, surrender your life.